Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex and Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro on this absolutely beautiful Monday morning here, or Monday afternoon now, in South Philadelphia. The reality of no playoffs for the Eagles continuing really hit home, obviously, this weekend. First time since August that the Eagles weren't alive and kicking, and we had to watch four games this weekend. Not great football games. I come away convinced the Eagles not far away at all. We'll get your phone calls later and get your reaction to that. As the Eagles get into the offseason in full flight, a week ago they were cleaning out the lockers and talking about the past and the future. Now they are very much into the offseason program. The coaching staff has spent the last week looking back at 2013, and soon we'll start getting onto the trail of the college all-star games, the Shrine Bowl practices this week. We've got full coverage for you there. But it's a quiet time at the NovaCare Complex, yet we have a great show for you. In the last week, we've had an opportunity to sit down with Howie Roseman, with Bill Davis, with Pat Shurmur, and ESPN's Adam Kaplan, so we'll get to that in just a bit. We also want to update you on the Pro Bowl. Nick Foles will be playing in the Pro Bowl. His tremendous season continues, and he is in, and offensive tackle Jason Peters is out. So the Eagles will be represented by LeSean McCoy and Jason and Nick Foles. So maybe they'll get a little hookup going in Hawaii in a couple of weeks. And good luck to Nick Foles. I think that's a great experience for him to be around that environment, to be around the very best of the best in the NFL. And he certainly deserves the honor. 27 touchdown passes, just two interceptions, led the Eagles to 7 wins in the last 8 games down the stretch of the regular season, then had 2 touchdown passes in the playoff loss to the New Orleans Saints. The Pro Bowl, one of the, well, not very key dates, but there are some key dates coming up. Got the Super Bowl on February 2nd in New York, up at MetLife Stadium, and then the NFL Scouting Combine. March 11th, ladies and gentlemen, is when free agency begins. What do you want in free agency? We'll talk about it, of course, between now and then. I think the Eagles will be active. I would assume they're going to be active. I think they've got some cap room, got some assets to move around. They usually are a very active team with trades, with signings, with retaining their own players. And then, of course, May 8th and May 10th, the NFL draft. The Eagles holding the 22nd pick in the first round. And the date not yet determined, but July generally late, 25th or so. Training camp begins at the NovaCare Complex. We'll have all those dates for you when we hear about them. When we return to Eagles Live, I, Dave Spadaro, will sit down with Howie Roseman, Eagles general manager, and we'll kind of wrap up the season and talk a little bit about what the Eagles have accomplished in a span of the last, 12 months, almost to the day when the Eagles signed Chip Kelly, January 16th to be exact, when the Eagles and Chip Kelly came to terms and the entire direction of this organization changed for the better. We talk about it with General Manager Howie Roseman when we return to Eagles Live in just a moment.
For the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
Hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
One more championship. Let's go.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
We welcome you inside the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by Eagles General Manager Howie Roseman. And the Eagles obviously in looking ahead mode here, but I got to begin it this way, Howie. My opinion, okay? And I don't think it's my opinion necessarily, but here it's my opinion. A great organization is going to go through ups and downs. And the Eagles' down cycle was 2 years. So to come up after just 2 years down, I got to tell you, I'm proud of the way everything's gone here. And I compliment you and I congratulate you and everybody else for putting this Eagles team back in first place in the NFC East. Do you feel that sense of accomplishment that the Eagles are back in that way?
Well, I like talking to you, Dave. We can talk anytime. That's great energy right there.
But don't you believe that, though?
Well, I think right now you're in the moment. You know, you feel like you still should be practicing. You should be playing this weekend, and there's a disappointment of the season ending, and it comes so quick. At some point, you'll get perspective, and look what we have. We have a young football team. We have an exceptional head coach who had a great first year. I think we had a really good personnel staff, and we've been spending all this time since May really preparing for the offseason. That's our job. I mean, we're doing that all the time. So we're looking at the draft and free agency and evaluating our own team while we're playing. So this doesn't change the process for us. We got to get better, and that's started in May, and it will continue to go until we play our first game in the regular season of 2014.
The truth is there's no sense of satisfaction in the NFL unless you win the Super Bowl.
No doubt, and yeah. That's our goal, and we know it's a new program, and we know that there were some areas that we didn't get the upgrades we were looking for last season. You can't do everything in one off season, and it's going to be the same way this year. I mean, we'll have a bunch of things we'd love to do, but the reality of it is if you fill all your holes, you're probably reaching on some things and not making the right decisions.
It's clear that the core of this young part of the roster comes from the 2012-2013 draft, so I got to talk a little bit about 2012 first, and you sure. Start there with Fletcher, who's been terrific for two seasons, made the transition to the 3-4 defensive end. Talk about what you saw from him this year, Howie.
Well, it's a big transition when you talk about a 4-3 wide nine to a 3-4-2 gap. And when we drafted Fletcher Cox, one of the things that appealed to us was he was scheme versatile. Really, when you think about it, Fletcher Cox can play defensive end in a 4-3. He can do anything. He's that kind of athlete, and then he's got that kind of body where you can really build him to whatever you want. And I think when he's got another year in the scheme, he will continue to get better. We have a heck of a defensive line coach, Coach Az, and I think the future is incredibly bright for Fletcher Cox because there are not many guys who have his skill set, and then he works hard at it.
Is that whole group of young defensive linemen something you're really high on?
No question. I think it starts with the front on both sides of the ball, and when we look at our defensive line and you look about Fletcher Cox and said, and then the job Benny did when he was put into that starting role, those three guys, they're all young guys. They're all guys with great character, leadership ability, and so that sets the stage for things that you can do.
Well, that 2012 draft, it was Kendricks, and it was Boykin, and it was Nick, and it was
Vinny
as well. I mean, so you really feel like that's this kind of the start of getting the young impetus here, the young talent going.
And they feel the same way. They kind of have all bonded together, that group. And you talk about a guy like Michael Kendricks, and we need playmakers on defense. And Michael and Brandon Boykin, big-time playmakers. They make plays. And that doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect on every play, but it's hard to get the ball back. And we need to get the ball back for our offense. So they do a great job. And then another guy, Vinny, drafted to be a 4-3 end. And his role this season, I thought that he was incredibly impressive in those snaps because he found a way to contribute, and he's got a high motor, he's athletic, he's long, he finds a way around the quarterback.
Do you ever go back, 2013 draft Eagles with the fourth pick, take Lane Johnson, and for many of the days during the season, I would tell people when asked on these radio shows that I thought that Lane was the most productive of the top 10 players that I saw. Would you ever go back and look at the board and say, boy, we really got ourselves the right guy here?
Well, we're excited about Lane, and we go back and we look at the guys drafted in the first round, where we had them, how they were in their first year, and again, caution ourselves just that it's a long career. And that's the whole thing about the National Football League. It's consistency over a period of time. So you see a lot of guys that are 1 year flash in the pans, and we hope all our rookies take that jump from year one to year two, which you talk about the 2012 draft class did a great job of making that jump. Mm-hmm. But Lane, for our offense and what we're looking to do, and you combine that with the work ethic, he's just a good fit for us.
What is his next step, Howie, in the evolution of a young offensive lineman? What comes next?
Well, consistency, and then learning about the players he's playing against. So making sure that when he plays against those guys in the NFC East, and there are a lot of good pass rushers in the NFC East, he knows them like the back of his hand. And I go back and think about Trey and Runyon when they were here and the matchups they had, and they knew those guys really well. So if they lost because it was one-on-one matchup. They didn't lose on anything other than the physical ability. And he's got so much physical ability that when the mental side catches up, and man, it's hard for an offseason for rookies, right? Because right now you think about it, they're training for the combine, they got all-star games, then they go through the whining and dining of going to the other facilities and having those interviews and the combine, and then all of a sudden they get drafted and it's great. Yeah, come next week and let's go practice. Mm-hmm. And then it's that whole off season. So I think when everything settles down for Lane, he's got an incredible work ethic. He's a smart kid, and then he's extremely athletic.
It's the same with Zach Ertz, who had big numbers for a rookie tight end. I think we look at him and say, but this kid's not playing like a rookie. The future's very bright for him, isn't it?
Yeah, and we forget sometimes about Zach and his ability to come in when he didn't have an off season with Stanford and them starting late. And so I think that he's incredibly confident. He's a really good route runner. He's got really good hands. He's big. You saw the blocking improve throughout the year, and he's a great kid. And we talked about that when we drafted mm-hmm. him. Knee position, probably not for us, but a guy that can potentially be here for a long time and play at a really high level.
Howie, we know that you signed 10 players this week or last week, and can you talk? I'm interested in some of these names, the Michael Bamiros of the world, and some players that we kind of got a little taste of in the preseason. Why stick with them, and what comes next for those players? Years ago it was Sed Thornton, who was a practice squad player signed. Last year at this time, you signed Alan Barbary, who made a valuable contribution. So I never minimize any of the signings. So I'm very interested in this group of 10 signed last week.
Shoot, when you think about it, you get one or two guys from that group, and it's like finding money in the street. It's just another way to supplement your roster. And when you talk about those guys, a little secret. We go out and we work out our practice squad players and guys, the deactivated guys, before the game.
Yep.
About 2 hours before the game. And it gives us, as a personnel staff, an opportunity to watch them and see how they're improving. And so all those guys, you saw them make improvements. And that's a great tribute to our coaching staff. So you talk about a guy like Michael Bamiro, who should have probably been in school. You know, he had a whole issue with his eligibility, and incredibly raw guy, but has the physical tools. I mean, huge. You've seen him in mm-hmm. person. I mean, maybe the biggest hands I've ever seen in my entire life. And so he's got those physical tools, and now we got a great offensive line coach that he gets a chance to work with, develop his body so it kind of matches his frame, and see what we got from there. But if they have enough in their body physically, and then they have the work ethic, and then you have the coaching staff, they have a chance.
What's the mission now? You're in the All-Star games already. Your focus is on the roster that you need to retain, as many as you can, the free agency coming up in March, and then the draft. Where are you at mentally?
Balance, all over the place. Balance, yeah, right, yeah. Dave? All those things have to come together at the same time. So luckily, we've spent so much time on the draft and free agency during the season. When we're able to do that, when it's really just us as a personnel staff and the coaches are focusing on the opponents, because as everyone gets more involved in the process, you're spending a lot more time meeting, and it's hard to watch as much film as you do in the fall when you get a chance to go on college campuses and really kind of hunker down. And so we got to make sure we get our college draft board set up in the right way, that we meet with our coaches and know exactly what they're looking for, which they did a great job last off-season describing to us that what they're looking, the characteristics for each position, and then making sure we evaluate our own team correctly. That the guys that we have here, the guys that we're extending, the guys that we're trying to extend, the guys that we're keeping, if we let anyone go, we're making those right decisions, because it's got to start there. Mm-hmm. You got to know your own team backwards and forwards. And we got to make decisions that aren't just emotional, that aren't based on just one game, but are based on the long-term needs of our football team.
You mentioned the characteristics that Chip and his coaching staff are looking for. You've gone through it once with them. Is it an easier process now?
No question. I mean, just the whole process last year. I mean, last year at this time, we didn't even have a coach. Mm-hmm. And then it took a while to get a staff together and then figure out what direction we were going in and what specifics we need. Now you add into that that they have 17 games, well, not even counting the preseason, of exposures to these guys and to what they feel works. And so you get back and now you go, well, we get another year with all our players, get another offseason with all our players, and maybe this is a couple of things that we can use. Again, not going to force it in the draft, but maybe there's a way to address those.
Just for the record, because fans are asking already, who are the Eagles going to sign in free agency? Who are the Eagles going to draft? It's great, great. But the reality is that you're not even close to that putting down that name or that series of names on paper, right?
We're thinking about it every day.
Do you,
who we're going to sign, how they match up, how they fit,
fun.
How much money. I mean, that's every day. I mean, there's not a minute of the day that I don't think about how to improve our football team. I mean, it is fun, and that's our job, and we got to improve. We got to get better. And, you know, you talk about our fans, you bring it up. How about the electricity in that stadium?
It was amazing. It was all year long. It was amazing. Yeah.
And for us, it's such a hard place to play. People do not want to come into Philadelphia, and that's a tribute to our fans, and we need them. And we know how important they are to our success at home. And hopefully with at the end of the season going 4-1 in the last five, we carry that over because there's nothing better than winning at home.
I feel it every day here. And I just want you to kind of describe up in the football side of things and the energy that you're all working with and the momentum that you're generating. What's it like? How you might, the feeling of let's just keep this thing moving in the right direction must be overwhelming.
Well,
not overwhelming, but really, I don't want to use the word overwhelming, but just – so exciting.
Well, it's a positive place to come to work every day. It's fun to come to work every day and try to get better. And we're not sitting here patting ourselves on the back about anything. We know we got to improve, and we want to build something that lasts. And it's important for us that we get a core group of players, that the names on the back of the jerseys are familiar to the fans, like the name on the front, and build a group of guys who love playing in Philadelphia. And when you go in that locker room, when you're around this building, you see our players have a tremendous passion for playing in this city, and the will to win is great. Now, we got to keep moving forward. And the hardest thing to do is keep taking jumps in the National Football League. We've seen that here.
Yep.
And so it's our job to create competition, create depth, add better players all along the roster, and then see where we kind of fall out.
Well, we're looking for a very productive offseason from Howie Roseman, Chip Kelly, the Philadelphia Eagles. Thank you, Howie.
Thanks, bud.
Good luck on the road. I know it's where you're going to be spending a lot of your time in the coming months. Howie Roseman, thank you so much for joining us in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
Now Xfinity from Comcast makes it easier than ever to instantly access your favorite sports live, all in one place. That's Monday Night Football on ESPN or the NHL on NBC Sports Network and college basketball on Fox Sports 1 on any device, anywhere, anytime. You can't do that with satellite. Go to Xfinity.com/livesports to start streaming now or simply launch the Xfinity TV Go app on your mobile device.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow, that's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
We welcome you inside the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by ESPN's Adam Kaplan is... The Eagles now looking ahead to this 2014 offseason, preparing to repeat as NFC's champions. Adam, let's first look back at 2013. Mm-hmm. And as you kind of put it in perspective, what did the Eagles accomplish during the season? What will you remember?
I think they laid down the foundation to be a very good football team that's got the ability to rise up each year. The roster is, I think, really, really good. It's really, really young. They were able to kind of turn this thing over in 1 year, which is not really what you think could get done in one season, but it's gotten done to a point where you feel they could carry it over the next season, be a very, very good football team. In fact, when you look at it, to me, they are clearly, no matter what happens from here, the creme de la creme of the NFC East.
Right. Now, and Howie Roseman has stressed this, and Chip has stressed this. A lot of work to be done.
Yes.
So let's talk about some of the work that, in your mind, needs to be done. First, there's a group of free agents that will need to be addressed at some point, probably sooner rather than later, as we creep closer to the March 11th start of free agency, Adam. Of the list, who would you like to see come back? Who do you think would come back?
Well, it's an interesting question. Had you asked me before the season started, I would have said, you know what? Riley Cooper is the least important of their free agents. Well, I put him near at the top because when you look at Riley Cooper, we knew he could always block. We knew he was a good fourth NFL receiver. But he proved to me that he could be a starter in the National Football League. However, I think when you look at receiver, Dave, I think they need to get more explosiveness. Someone who could draw double teams away from DeSean Jackson. That's why I don't think Riley Cooper's guy is going to get a big salary in free agency, and why I think his best bet would probably be to come back to Philadelphia.
So it's Macklin and Riley Cooper are your headline free agents to be. And it's an interesting situation. Both play the marquee position. The free agent group is not strong necessarily at wide receiver. Could the Eagles conceivably, given their cap space, given maybe the market that's out there for wide receivers, bring both of them back?
They could. They closed the season with just over $17 million in cap space. They're projected to have, without that, $7 to $9 million. So $26 to $28 million. Then you have your restricted free agent tenders, which will come off the cap. Have between $20 and $22 million. When everything is said and done, they could do whatever they need to do. Dave. Bottom line, to answer your question, they could go into free agency. They could resign all of their free agents if they choose to. But Jeremy Maclin, though, with a torn ACL, you just don't know if he'll ever be the same. Everything I've heard is good. But you can't just expect that he could be a starter. So to me, if he resigns, anything that you get out of him would be a plus.
All right, so while Cooper and Macklin are the headliners, there are other players to consider, Adam. Let's talk about Michael Vick. What is the future of Michael Vick?
Michael Vick, it's interesting. I know that Howie Rosen's been asked this, and he said that they're very happy with the way Vick handled himself. But I think Vick, at this point of his career, at 34 years old, his best days are behind him. I think Vick will look to be a starter somewhere. But realistically, he would only be given a chance to start. I don't think anyone's going to say, okay, you're our guy. No way, based on his injury history. Now, I don't think they'll close the door to him coming back, but they want to see what Matt Barkley can do in a full offseason, which would be his first, if you want to call it that. I think that they'd like him to develop into the backup. Now,
Cedric Thornton, when you talk about 26 to 28
million, he's actually an exclusive rights free agent. He's not going anywhere, so you don't have to worry
about
that.
But still, there's a number what is the number that gets assigned to somebody like that?
The exclusive rights number is lower than restricted. It's in fact restricted if he was not drafted also. But it's not going to be very much. I wouldn't worry about that. The one that surprised me, Clifton Gathers, I got to tell you, when they brought him in, I thought he had zero chance. I mean, one executive told me he couldn't move. So I use that as my basis. I just use this, what this executive told me. But he's been a surprise. He actually contributed.
And he's a handful of snaps per game guy.
Not a lot, but it's six. You can't teach size. You like having that guy in your 34. Colt Anderson, an excellent special teams player. I believe we'll look to bring him back. Other than Riley Cooper, and I'm sure you could mark this down. They will do everything they can to bring Donnie Jones back. They understand the value of free agency with the punting position and also field position is unbelievable, and he gave them incredible position. So great job there.
And then the safeties, Nate Allen, Kurt Coleman, and you mentioned Colt Anderson. Nate Allen, interesting situation. We all know the Eagles want to get better at safety, but Nate did a good job.
To me, I think you could look to bring him back on a one-year deal. Let him compete for it. But the bottom line is safety. When you rank them all up there, it's a major need for them.
Yeah, in your opinion, Adam, and we'll talk about this between now and March, but I mean, how much productivity will you get from free agency in general out there? Everybody's talking about safeties and wide receivers.
I'm probably like the only one in the country who's already been – I'm halfway done my analysis of free agency. You know, I rank them all, and for ESPN, I'm going to have to talk about them all. But I can tell you the position that looks pretty deep is safety. Surprise me. You've got your top-end buys, Jarius Byrd. You've got a guy like Nate Allen, who's a mid-level guy. You've got a lot of low guys.
T.J. Ward in Cleveland. T.J. Ward, free agent to be.
Yeah, he is, and he's very inconsistent. Bird's a better football player, but I want to caution people, and I try to do this every year. The Eagles are no exception. Deshaun Goltz and the Eagles looked at last year. Once they got wind of how much he wanted, they weren't even close to even being interested. So be careful with all the reports that the Eagles might be interested in Bird. That's going to cost them a lot of money if they wanted him. Number two, he had double plantar fascia. He had both feet. I mean, that's kind of odd, you know. So good football player. Had one major year under Dick Geron with interceptions. Good football player. But to me, you want to develop your own players. And I think that's the mantra that Howie Roseman and Chip Kelly are going to have going forward. That's the way you should do it. That's the way they did this past season. I think going forward, they're not going to go crazy with free agency anymore. That's not – if you win the free agency game, you're going
to
lose.
And if you want to build the defense, certainly you need to have better, more consistent, more explosiveness in the pass rush.
Yes, yes.
Now, in theory, you want to draft somebody and develop – Eagles draft 22nd in the draft. Is there a market out there for – is there a good group of young, athletic, outside linebackers coming in here?
The two guys that I like are going to go in top 10. Barr's going top 10. Right. I think when you – you know, Clowney, by the way, is probably going to be 4-3 DN. A lot of people don't think that he'd be a good dropper, I mean, playing a 34. So then when you look at it, I think third round, maybe some second round guys. But in the 20s, to me, they're going to be some receivers. Okay, I think you could look at receiver. Safety, corner, just my early look at the draft. Corner, the Eagles need to add athleticism, a developmental corner who could run. I think the Eagles' two starting corners overachieved. I think they're good, they're solid, they're physical, which you need, but they need athletes there.
It's so speculative.
I know,
right
we're, I mean,
it's,
we're
and that's all it is,
here.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I know that upstairs, Chip Kelly, Howie Roseman, they have not put their plan together yet. They're still evaluating 2013. Yeah. And it was a developmental year, it was a foundation in place kind of year, and the Eagles went out and won 10 games, and they're off to a good start. Adam, your opinion of Nick Foles and the next step he needs to take in his progression as a quarterback.
When I watched the tape, there's something that really stood out to me. When, although he did not play well, I thought, in the first half, he does have a habit now, which needs to be broken, about holding on to the football. The fact that he kept throwing in the second half, when he had to make throws, he did, and he brought them back. And guess what? Despite the way he played in the first half, they had the lead.
When he left
That's
the
what
field.
You want. That, Dave, that, forget about the great numbers against Oakland. That showed some tremendous leadership, and this team rallied around him. That's a position where you need tremendous leadership. He has that, and I like that about him.
I guess in general, Adam, last thing, do you anticipate a lot of change with the roster? If there's 65 players here, well, 60 players, 65 players, let's say, practice squad players,
contract, yeah.
60, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, do you expect 20 of them gone, 30 of them gone?
I don't think the turnover like they had this past season. We knew that was coming. No, I don't think it's going to be that dramatic. But I think that what they're going to look for is depth at certain positions, and they know that they have 4 to 5 major needs going to this draft, I think, going to draft in free agency, where they've got to get depth. We know, number one, it's outside linebacker. But as far as turning over the roster again, no, I don't see it.
I still say this, and I don't know anything, but I think that everybody out there is focused on defense, defense, defense. And, yes, the defense needs to be improved, but they will not pass up quality offensive linemen, playmakers.
You've been saying that for 2 years.
Well, because that's where it all starts.
I know.
You win and lose at the line of scrimmage.
I agree with you.
And the Eagles won a lot of games at the line of scrimmage this year. And on Saturday night against the Saints, they did not win the battle at the line of scrimmage.
I would agree on both sides of the football.
So, Adam Kaplan, ESPN, thanks so much
Thank
once
you.
Again
All right, man.
For joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Max-A-Million, with five top prizes of $1 million. It's kind of fun to hit the green. Keep on scratching.
Out here, there are no cheat codes. No avatars, no magic stars. This does not require an operating system or a username or password. And there will not be better versions of these games coming out next year. Connect to something meaningful. Shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
All right, check this one out, everybody. You can win a VIP office party for up to 50 people at the Eagles NovaCare Complex. Thanks to our friends at Rico, the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. All you have to do is visit the PhiladelphiaEagles.com fan zone and register to win your opportunity to get 50 of your peeps here. You and 49 of your peeps here for an office party. Great place, great environment. Great fun for you and everyone with whom you work. Do it now. The contest runs out here in the next 2 weeks. So do it before the end of the month of January. Dave Spadaro with you here. We're going to take some phone calls in just a bit. 215-339-6709, the telephone number. Connor Barwin, tremendous acquisition for the Eagles. One of many in the unrestricted free agency period. The NFL Films had him mic'd up. For the playoff game against the Saints. We've taken a clip of that. The full piece will be available on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and on our app. But just to give you a little tease, here's a listen and a look at what Connor Barwin's all about on game day.
Hey, here we go. Here we go. Hey, hey. Hey, Eagles out three. One, two, three. Hey, let's go, bro. Let's go, baby. Beautiful. United in football.
Let's go.
Woo, looking nice, Howard. Looking real nice. I see you stepping up in the playoffs, baby. I see you. Hey, let's go. Lead us, bro. Lead us now. Let's go. Let's go. Hey, big night. Big night now. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Ooh, I almost got that ball out.
Hey, if I'd have turned around, Coach, I had a pick. I didn't know Drew Brees could have thrown that far.
And that's just a snippet of what Connor Barwin's like on game days. Very animated, very verbal, of course, very high energy. You can see the whole piece on PhiladelphiaEagles.com when the show is over. 215-339-6709, your reaction to NFL Divisional Playoff Weekend. Let's begin on the phones in Maryland and talk to Paul. Paul, how are you doing today?
Dave, what's going on, brother?
Well,
how you doing, man?
We're making do, right?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, man. But you know, I'm not, you know, first year it was good, man. It was better than what I expected.
It's interesting, Paul. You know, you watch these games, and we watch the Eagles with such an intensely critical eye. Nick Foles, don't take that sack. Chip Kelly, don't take that timeout. How could you call
well,
that?
You know,
play?
Man,
same thing.
I just feel like we should have ran the football a little bit more, man. And
well,
seeing the game yesterday with Tom Brady. And you know how Tom Brady's being, you know how he's a star, but yet still Bill Belichick, man, ran that football, man.
I wish the Eagles had run the ball more effectively. I'm not going to say they could have run it more. They were down in a situation in the end of the third quarter, down 20-7, so it's kind of hard to run. It was shocking that the leading ground game in the NFL gained only 80 yards against the Saints. And I agree with you. It wasn't just the New England Patriots. Every team that wins in the playoffs has run the football effectively.
And Dave, I don't think those 5 minutes would exist for Drew Brees to, you know, drive down that field, man. You know, had we utilized that running game just a little bit more, man. I don't think Drew Brees would have had that time.
Well, I mean, what can I tell you? The Eagles came back. They won. They took a lead against the Saints, and then a big kickoff return, a 15-yard penalty, and the Saints iced the game.
It's a good game. But draft picks real quick, Dave.
Yeah.
I say corner, safety, corner,
Hold on. Tell me first, what's your strategy in free agency, Paul? Or
no free agents. Skip them all, man. Like I like the way Chip Kelly's doing it. We just did it. We do it like a college program, man. We draft our players, bring them in, groom them. That's how Bill Belichick does it. I say, right, Dave, I compare Chip Kelly to Bill Belichick. I tell all my friends he's the NFC version of Bill Belichick. We're going to be fine, man.
Very well could be. Now, tell me, once again, tell me, what do you want in the draft?
Okay, corner, safety, corner, wide receiver, linebacker.
So you want two corners, a safety, and a linebacker for the defense, and then a wide receiver for the offense.
Right. But there's some old linemen out there, like you said, man, I'd take those old linemen to D linemen anytime. But other than that, yeah, that's how I would do it, brother.
I think you probably, and thanks for the phone call, you could probably address some of those needs in free agency. I mean, it's not, you know, you never know. There's certainly some names, anyway, that could be available in free agency at the safety position. I don't think the list at wide receiver is, at least initially, all that enticing. Unless you want Brandon LaFell, who's slated to be a free agent. But, I mean, the Eagles have two good receivers who could be free agents, and that's obviously Jeremy Maclin and Riley Cooper. 215-339-6709. Let's go to New York and talk to the Zomster, Zompy Zompola. Mr. Zomparelli, how are you, sir?
Yes, sir. How about those birds, baby?
Oh, how about those birds, Mr. Reserved? What's wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong, man.
Right.
Thanks for watching these games without the birds, man.
I know, it does. It's really tough. I didn't find them really, any of the four, all that exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I expected the Patriots. A lot of people were saying, oh, the Colts are going to give them a run for the money. I expected a blowout. I really did.
Well, the Patriots, to me, Zomp, remarkable how they adjust to their personnel. They've got injuries on offense. They've got injuries on defense. And they're in the AFC Championship game. It's pretty amazing.
That's when you have a great coach and a great quarterback, and that's the winning formula in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yep.
But,
agreed.
What's it called? I don't know what to say. Oh, I'm very mad about. You see, this is why Eagles fans are unlucky. See, we play the Saints guy, the kicker belts 48-yard field goals, this and that. And then against Seattle, what does he do?
Yep.
Misses two field goals. We're not lucky, Dave, man. Just not lucky.
Hey, listen, Zomp, I don't think anybody could complain about the Eagles' luck in 2013. All right, they had a run of, you know, quarterbacks who were injured, running backs who were injured, late game interceptions. The fact is Shane Graham kicked three field goals against the Eagles in perfect conditions, goes to Seattle where it was the air's a little bit heavier, the mist is a little bit more pronounced, 45-yard field goal, 48-yard field goal attempts, he shanks them. But I will tell you what I took from it. All of you who are bashing Alex Henry, and he needs to be better. I'm not telling you otherwise. It is not easy to find excellent, outstanding Justin Tucker-type kickers in the NFL.
I agree with that. I mean, Alex Henry to me is like the first year he was here with Andy Reid, he was lights out. I was like, oh, this guy, okay. And now it's just, you know, this year was just amazing. It's like, and then I was there in 2010 against Green Bay, Akers missing in, and to be there again to see Alex Henry miss, it's like, it's just annoying.
Maybe the key is that you should not come to the playoff games. No offense, but it's not weird unless it works, unless it doesn't work, right?
Wait, say that again, I didn't hear you, Dave.
Don't come to the playoff games next year, Zompy, please, okay? I'm not blaming you for the loss, but it's not weird if it doesn't work, or it's not weird if it works, right?
No,
so why don't you come down, you sit in our studio, you watch the game with all of our guys, and then if the Eagles win, then we're on to something a little bit here, all right?
My brother said the same thing. He says, Joe, he said, you know, my name is Joe, but I was like, he was like, Joe, don't go to the games anymore. Every time you go, they lose. So I'm like, now I'm starting to believe it, man.
Well,
I'm starting to believe that.
Think about that, Zomp.
What do you think I should do? You think I should stay home then?
No, we love you here.
That's what I mean, man. You're making me feel bad, man.
I'm just kidding you.
Dave, listen to me, man.
Yes.
This weekend stinks without Eagles football, but I just wanted to call in just to show you that.
Thank you. We love you. Thanks for listening. What's your number one need for this football team?
Safety.
Okay.
Safety, and give me one of those big, fat, 350-pound nose tackles, baby.
Got to stop the running game, Zomp. Thanks very much.
Yes, sir. All right, man.
You got it.
Yeah, you got it. You've got to stop. I mean, the NFL, it evolves, and it's easier to throw the football, and the rules change, but it boils down always, every single year, in the playoffs, the tempo changes, and you must control the line of scrimmage, you must run the football, and you must stop the run. And the Eagles did neither very effectively in their loss to New Orleans. When we return, we talk about the defense. Defensive coordinator Bill Davis joins us in studio. Eagles did a lot of good things Let's hear from the defensive coordinator, his perspective on 2013.
It's under 400 calories.
Under 400 calories.
It's under 400 calories.
Under 400 calories.
Ugh.
Dunkin's great tasting sandwich options all under 400 calories. Try the new sliced turkey breakfast sandwich today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life. In charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
99 cents. That's all it takes to get a refreshing deal at Dunkin' Donuts. Just because it's cold out doesn't mean you can't enjoy any sized iced tea or iced coffee. Just 99 cents all month long. America runs on Dunkin'.
Let's talk a little defense. Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by Eagles defensive coordinator Bill Davis. Year one in the books. Bill, how'd you do? How'd the defense do?
We got better. You know, it's not where we want it to be. It's not where anywhere close, to be honest with you. But we're just looking and talking about the defense, the script from week one minicamp to the last script of the season, and how far the scheme part of it has grown. And the scheme part grew because the players, you know, embraced the fundamentals and the foundation, and then we just continue to grow. So we've got a lot of work to do, but we're excited about where we're at right now.
And you would say it was a gradual process? You could kind of feel it getting better and better as the weeks went along?
Absolutely. You know, you start out at ground level. The thing about starting a defense and installing it from the very ground zero is no player can help another player really understand it.
Mm-hmm.
They're all learning together. They're all learning their little intricacies of their position, and they're all absorbed in learning it themselves. Fast forward this coming year when we start our first mini camp, we've got a whole group of veteran players or guys that were here that can now help the people that come in, be it, you know, draft or free agency. So that alone is a big jump from one year to another.
Is all of the Bill Davis scheme in, or is it something that will always, forever evolve?
Well, first of all, it's not the Bill Davis scheme.
Well, running.
Exactly. It's the Philadelphia Eagle defensive staff scheme. And I've got to point that out because there's so many great coaches and position coaches on this staff, and we collectively put this thing together, and we collectively grow it. I just want to make sure that's
I think that's fair.
That's put out there.
I think that's important for people to know because it does take a collaborative effort each week to put things together.
Absolutely. Yeah. There are. It takes all of us. It takes everybody with an oar in the water pulling together to get this thing to go where it's supposed to go in a fast and efficient manner. But right now, the foundation and the fundamentals are in, and absolutely we will grow it and add some pieces that we didn't put in because at some point it's too much. You cannot put in too much because then it's just mental error after mental error, guy running free. I was very happy with the amount of, or lack of mental errors we had on Sundays that ended up in guys running free. We had a few, but it was minimal for a first year.
Let's start with the front. The young front, young group of players who, when they got the chance to play, Bill, it seemed like they really, really grew into the role and grew into the responsibility. The Benny Logans, the Cedric Thorntons, the Fletcher Coxes, Damian Square, all of these players really chipped in, didn't they?
Well, I'll start with Jerry Azanero and Eric Shenander, who did a great job coaching that position. They had the youngest group. They had a group that hadn't experienced two gapping in the schemes and the fundamentals we were using. So they did an outstanding job of bringing along a young, talented group, and I think our personnel department did a great job of fitting those pieces into to what we needed in understanding and listening to us and what they look like, and we've got a good foundation to build off of with that front.
A player like Benny, who's a rookie, and they always say rookies grow into their second year. That's maybe the largest jump of an NFL player. What did you see from Benny? What do you think you might see from Benny down the line?
I thought Benny did a great job of picking up the fundamentals of two-gapping. And really, when you play that nose position, that's a very vital role in the defense. To be able to handle both A-gaps is a big part of what we're trying to do. And I thought Benny really wrapped his mind around and worked hard at how to two-gap, and I think that showed.
How about the linebackers, Bill, in general? Just I know this is a sensitive time. Everybody, you know, there's free agents. But in general, Trent Cole came on. Connor Barwin was always in the right place. D'Amico had a fantastic season. Michael Kendricks taking the football away. Nobody better in the league.
Yeah, they really had a solid overall performance from both the outside backers and inside backers. Our inside backers really are the quarterbacks of our defense. D'Amico, I can't say enough about how much he meant to us doing all the scheme that we did. And then Michael Kendricks' athleticism and playmaking ability. And then you look outside, Trent Cole's really attitude about how to make the position change and what he threw into it, what jumps out at me is that pass he broke up in the Saints game. I thought it was D'Amico for a second, mm-hmm, when I was looking from up top, and it was a very smooth, calm, relaxed. I said, "Wow, he came a long way in how to drop and how to cover." And then you look at Connor Barwin all the different hats we had him wear and the way and the attitude in which he took it. It was an exciting group.
What kind of improvement did you see from Carey and from Fletch and from Brandon, and just the cornerbacks, Rock stepping up, getting some time and covering all these big receivers and down the stretch, shutting down the Chicago Bears? I mean, that was great to see.
You know, the corners really were, they didn't, I want to say surprise, but they really did exceed expectations. And I had good, solid expectations for them, but they exceeded that. And they really fit our mold. They put their hands on, they get up, they press, they put their hands on, they reroute. They're not intimidated by the bigger receivers because they have length themselves. So it was a good year for the corners. The nickel, Brandon really, really came on, and I know a lot of people wanted an expanded role with Brandon, but I really believe he benefited and made the plays he made because we put him in that little compartment and really let him get good at it, and he did.
He's a starting cornerback. A slot cornerback is a starter.
Thank you.
Right? Isn't
exactly.
That right?
Exactly. It's 60% of all reps. It's actually, in a lot of defenses, more than the second inside backer. Mm-hmm. So it is a starting role. People don't look at it, but everybody's in. It's a pass-happy league, so that's really what that is. So Brandon really came along, and we're excited about him in both the nickel and the corner spot.
You got good play at safeties, although there were some injuries along the way. Nate stepped up, and Earl Wolfe, when he was healthy, stepped up, and Patrick came in and had some injuries. But by and large, that group, I thought they played well. I know there's always room for improvement, Bill, but it's always important that group, it contributes to a run defense that was very, very good for the season.
Sure, they did. I know they got a lot of bad press early on, and it was a big a lot of eyes were on the safety position, and I thought Nate Allen took huge steps from the season he had a year ago to the season he had this year. He was real steady for us. His tackling, I thought, improved. He did a nice job quarterbacking back there and getting us in coverages. And then, Earl was coming on. Patrick had a up-and-down season, but he had a share of ups, too. And, we're excited about the way we're growing. And another year and another offseason and really understanding the scheme better will help that safety group.
So what do you do now, Bill? Are you still in the phase of evaluating 2013?
Yes. This whole week has been about player evaluations. It's been about the scheme. We'll start the scheme evaluation when we get back from the Senior Bowl. And then it's kind of writing up we're helping to kind of reshape the description of what each position looks like for this scheme, for the scouting department, as they move forward in the free agency and in the draft.
Good season. Never a great season in the NFL unless you.
There's only one team.
It's not fun to. There's only one team that's happy.
Only one team has a great season.
Yeah, yeah. And then the rest of us wait for next year.
The rest of us have to get better.
Yeah. Bill Davis, we thank you so much for joining us in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
One more. Let's get it. Let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
One more championship. Let's go.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow, that's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
The Eagles offense had a record-setting 2013 season. Here to talk about it in our studio, offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur. And I know that your whole focus is on ahead, but really impressed with the way this offense came together so quickly. All these new pieces, new system. How do you look at it, Pat? How was it?
Well, now that we're having a few minutes to reflect, we look back. We did some really nice things. Unfortunately, there were some games and parts of games where we need to play better. So, you know, we have the system taught. We have what we want to do in place. Now we're going to go back and we'll do more of the things we did well, less of the things we didn't do well, and then try to get some new ideas and just keep building it. And I think that's the important thing. But we taught the fundamentals of what we want to be as an offense. We've got the system taught to most of the players that will be back next year. And so we just got to get better and build on it.
It all starts up front, and that offensive line, everybody played, great continuity. And really great development, Pat. I mean, you must have loved what you saw from that group up front.
No, that group, you know, that's the engine that drives the car, and it's been said frequently in a lot of different places. But, you know, they played together all year. They did an extremely good job of blocking for the run. They're very good pass protectors, and I'm looking forward to having as many of those guys back next year because continuity up front is what really starts things.
What is the next step generally for an offensive lineman? And I'm speaking of Lane specifically.
Right.
Year one, he comes in, and I spoke to Howie earlier, and you know, you forget that the draft period, he's going from this team to that team, eating poorly, doing not getting his workouts in, comes in all of a sudden and played excellent football. Now he's got this whole offseason to build up and get stronger and become a better football player.
Well, you just think about Lane. He played quarterback. He played tight end. He played defensive line. Then he played offensive line. That's just his high school, junior college career. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's a starting right tackle in the NFL. Big jump, and he handled it tremendously. Outstanding athlete, very tough. He got better each week. And now as he sits back and reflects on this season, gets his mind right, re-energizes himself, this offseason will be very meaningful because he pretty much knows what to do. Now he can just focus on the details of doing his job.
Yeah, how would you describe the offensive line? Is it one of the more athletic groups that you've ever – is that the key to the success of that offensive line, that the athletic ability across the board?
Well, it's important as an offensive lineman that you can, you know, win your matchups, but it's equally important that you can play together. These guys came together, played well. We have a very fit group. You know, you know they're not sloppy guys. They're very fit. They can run well. They can do a lot of things well. I think that's partly why we were better in the screen game. We're obviously an inside zone running team, and then they do, you know, everything you have to do as pass protectors. So, you know, they're multiple, and they played well together.
Pat, a lot of people out there thought that when Jeremy was hurt, the wide receiver core would crumble. It didn't happen. Why?
Well, I think the players embraced what we were doing. And I think Nick Foles did a good job of delivering the football. Guys that had opportunities made the most of it. I thought Riley Cooper did some really nice things. DeSean Jackson had his best year ever. Mm-hmm. Jason Avant, although he didn't have the production of the two guys I mentioned, he made some big catches. Not to mention the tight ends and what they did. So, you know, I think there was a lot of parallel learning. Chip was getting to know the players. We as coaches were getting to know the players. Players are getting to know the system, and then you match it up with our opponents each week, and I think our guys just did a great job of fighting through it, and we found a way to have some success, although we're not playing anymore, and so we got to find a way to keep that going.
You mentioned Nick Foles. What a season. Comes in, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 2 more touchdowns in the playoff loss. Talk about his development, Pat. You know better than anyone. I mean, how far he's come, and you know, who knows where he's going to be.
Well, he starts the year as a backup, you know, and then he comes in, he starts, and then does all the things you mentioned. And I think, you know, Nick's a guy that football makes sense to him. He did an outstanding job of just kind of staying the course. Even when he wasn't starting, he was preparing like he was going to play. So then when he was ready to go, he was in that battle rhythm, which was first very, very important. And then he had a real good feel for what we were trying to do on offense. He understands how important it is to take care of the football. That's why, even though he was aggressive with his decision-making, very few interceptions. And I think as we look at the offseason and we start evaluating players, guys that don't throw many interceptions are good decision makers, and that's really first and foremost for a quarterback.
And yet, you know, I really liked all of his demeanor. And I liked at the end of the season how he kind of stressed more the things that he needs to work on rather than what he accomplished. To me, that's the key to a great player in the NFL. You can't stay still in this league. You've got to keep working on the things that you're not as good at and get better at those.
Well, there's only one team this year that's going to win the Super Bowl, and we're not that team. And so each person, each player, each coach, everybody in the organization has got to look at ways to be better. And for him to say that tells me even more that he's on the right track.
We didn't get to see Matt Barkley play very much. How did he get better behind the scenes?
Well, I think Matt was the same way. I thought he kept a good battle rhythm so that if he had to go in and play, he could have. He learned a lot from the snaps that he got, you know, when he played against Dallas and the Giants. And so I think he really improved behind the scenes. When he came here in the spring, he had a long way to go, but he really developed through the practice sessions. And then even on Sundays, we would take all the deactivated players and the practice squad players out. And each week I could see him as I was watching him before the game. I could see him improving, just his rhythm, his timing. Actually, his arm strength, in my opinion, got better. So I think he's in a good position now for a solid offseason, pretty much knowing what we want to do on offense. Now he, too, can work on the details of playing quarterback.
You'd heard about him for many years. What was it like working with Michael for year number one?
I tell you, I have a great respect for Michael. I have a soft spot in my heart for guys that have had adversity, found a way to play through it. And Michael's one of the toughest guys we have. And behind the scenes, when Michael speaks, people listen. And I really admired the way he handled it when he was no longer the starter. Because of the way Michael handled things, I think we can't understate why Nick then played well. Because I think he was trying to help Nick be as good as he could be, knowing that, you know, he was one ankle injury from being back in there. So for all those reasons, I got a great deal of respect for Mike, and I really enjoyed my year with him.
Pat, the running backs, including Matthew Tucker, four guys, great depth, variety of talent. Right. They came to they knew what their assignments were. They blocked well. They caught the football well. That's what makes this offense go in a lot of ways. How about with LeSean and that crew?
Well, that's a really good crew. In my two former lives, I wish we had a crew of running backs like that. You know, and I'll call him a crew because, you know, obviously, you know, LeSean is our starter and he's done outstanding in terms of what we ask him to do. But then behind him, I really felt like Bryce Brown improved. You know, he was probably the slowest to get going, but by the end, he was really playing extremely well. And then Chris Polk, he got in there and he had some explosive runs, scored some touchdowns. So, and then Tuck, you know, behind the scenes, I thought he's one of those guys where I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does here in the offseason. But we got to the point where it really didn't matter to us who was in there. We knew they would run the ball well. We knew if we threw it to them, they'd catch it. And then most importantly, when it was time to pass protect, they would block who they were supposed to and keep Nick free.
Having a second year now with Chip, Pat, and melding all of the minds that are up there, what happens in the offseason now?
Well, you know, we're done playing, of course, and that's a hard – you know, that's a hard pill to swallow. You know, we're all looking around saying we should be getting ready for another game.
Right.
So that's kind of what we're going through this week. We spent this week, you know, evaluating our players, you know, going through each player with a fine-tooth comb and talking about what we think they are as a player, where they need to get better, so on and so forth. We also sat down and we made a list of critical factors that we're looking for in players as we get ready to embark on free agency and then the draft. And then starting when we get back to work here, we're going to end up going down to Mobile, of course, for the Senior Bowl. And when we get back from the Senior Bowl, then we're going to really dig into what we call scheme evaluation. We'll spend our mornings working on football. Mm-hmm. We'll look at everything we did. And as I mentioned, we'll try to emphasize the things we did well. We'll de-emphasize the things we didn't. And then we'll also look at new ideas, new ways to make our offense better. And so that's what we'll spend our mornings doing. And then in the afternoon, we as coaches will spend a lot of time on player evaluation, whether it be free agent players or guys, of course, that we could potentially draft.
Yeah, it's so much work to do. People don't even realize that there's all this work that needs to be done before the games start in September.
No, it's a full-time job.
Yeah.
but it's something that we love for football coaches to come to work and work on football. That's what makes this job special.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Well, Pat, thanks so much.
No,
Pat Shurmur, Eagles offensive coordinator in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Max-A-Million, with five top prizes of $1 million. It's kind of fun to hit the green. Keep on scratching.
Out here, there are no cheat codes. No avatars, no magic stars. This does not require an operating system, or a username or password. And there will not be better versions of these games coming out next year. Connect to something meaningful. Shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
We've got the contest that you need to enter. You win a VIP office party for up to 50 people at the Eagles NovaCare Complex right here in South Philadelphia. It is a great building. It's just, you walk through, it's just the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. All you have to do is enter the RICO contest. It's in our fan zone on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And join us here at the NovaCare Complex. The deadline is in 2 weeks, so please do it now. RICO, imagine change, the official document solution partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Get your entries in now and win your chance to have an office party right here at the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with you on this Monday. Reminder, we've got full coverage of the Shrine Bowl practices for you this week. Bo Wolf is down there with our film crew, and we're going to start hitting this offseason hard, finding those gems that the Eagles could select in the May 8th through May 10th draft. And if you are not following us on Twitter at Eagles Shows, please do so now. We are nearing the 4,000 follower mark. And when we hit that mark, we'll give away another great piece of Eagles merchandise, autographed merchandise. We've given away LeSean McCoy mini helmets, DeSean Jackson mini helmets. So you could be next. Follow us on Twitter at Eagles Shows. I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us here today on Eagles Live. Everyone, we appreciate your support so much. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.